How do you do? Bloom where you're planted, we're told, yet most of us long for a different garden, less pruning, more sunshine, whatever. And then we blame the soil or the gardener, anything, when we don't bear fruit. The young lad in this story bloomed where he was planted. In spite of adverse conditions, he bore more fruit in a few years than most people do in a lifetime. And all because his heart and mind and life were unshackled.
How old is your son now?
Not quite 14 months, Doctor.
Except for a few colds, he's always been a healthy baby.
He started to get sick right after his first birthday.
Well, describe what happened.
He lost his appetite. He couldn't keep down anything except for cheese and Cheerios.
We brought him in 2 weeks ago when his breathing got labored. They said he was having an asthma attack. He was better for a while, but then he got sick again.
What was his activity level before he got sick?
Well, he's not hyperactive at all. He never crawled, but he walked at 10 months.
His upper body seems very weak to me. He may have muscular dystrophy.
Muscular what? Dystrophy?
I can't be sure until we do more tests and have a neurologist look at him. Is there any history of that in your family?
My cousin died of muscular dystrophy a few years ago. Danny can't have that. He just can't.
Shining light into the darkness, this is Unshackled. Dramatic true life stories produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. They stand at a crossroads, the homeless, trying to decide if they should enter this rescue mission. It's been there for years in Chicago, long as they can remember. But the friendly man in the doorway wins out and they enter the old lighthouse, Pacific Garden Mission. And there's no charge, they learn, for the big meal in the dining room, the fresh clothing, the clean bunk at night. There's even a medical and dental clinic if needed, and all free, thanks to the generosity of people who care. The counselor tells them about the one who can change their lives forever, who will take them out of the darkness and give them a new heart. Seems too good to be true, but it is. And they stand at the crossroads again, and those who believe cross over into new life. And now for broadcast around the earth, here's program number 2559 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
I called your aunt, Jim. She said muscular dystrophy is carried on the mother's side, and there's none in my family, so it can't be that.
What could be wrong with him?
I don't know, but the whole church is praying for him.
Here comes the cardiologist. Maybe he has some answers.
Mr. and Mrs. Radke, the tests show that your son has cardiomyopathy, an enlarged heart with congestive heart failure. This is a very serious and life-threatening condition.
Oh, oh no. Dear Lord, I can't believe it.
Daniel will need medication, and he'll have to be monitored very closely.
What about surgery?
The only surgery we can do, if it becomes serious enough, is a heart transplant.
God can heal him. God can heal our Daniel.
Well, in the meantime, I'll begin treating him with heart medication.
He was the first child of the couple in this story, the long-awaited, much-prayed-for son in whom many dreams and hopes were already invested. What his life might have been and what it actually was are what this story is all about. It's the remarkable and true story of Daniel Radke right now on Unshackled.
Jim and I had been married 4 years when Daniel was born, December 8th, 1982. We thanked God for him right in the delivery room and, like Hannah in the Old Testament, dedicated our son to the Lord. What a joy our baby was. And then came the crisis in his health. Day after day we prayed as the doctors tried to stabilize his condition. One day we went to the hospital cafeteria to get a break from it all. He was just starting to get stronger. Now he can't even keep liquid down.
But it's just the flu, Julie. He'll be okay now that they know what to do.
I suppose we'll always have to consider things like that. Keeping him safe from germs and things.
Well, we don't want to put added stress on his heart, but I think that we should let him have as normal a life as possible. I mean, we don't know what God will do.
I believe God will heal him, Jim.
But he has purposes we'll never know this side of heaven.
He knows how much we wanted Daniel and dedicated him to God.
Julie, our faith is going to be tested. We must trust God with Danny. That's what our dedication really meant.
You're right.
Coming here from work, I was pretty tired and almost had an accident. I turned on the radio and heard a song that brought tears to my eyes. You know the one, Through It All.
Sure, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God.
What got me were the lines, if I'd never had a problem, I wouldn't know that he could solve them.
Jim, I'm so glad the Lord protected you, honey. Now we better get back upstairs.
Let's pray first, Julie.
Yes.
And rededicate ourselves, as well as Danny, to God. No matter what happens, God is sovereign. When Danny came home after 15 days, we continued to pray for his healing. He grew normally, learned to talk, and was an outgoing, friendly child. At 22 months, he lost the tip of a finger to a tiny fan motor, but he recovered beautifully. We always took him to church with us, and at 3, he began to sing hymns, sometimes in his own words. The doctor checked him every 6 months.
He's doing fine.
He's in the children's club at church.
Good. Just be sure he doesn't get involved in strenuous activities.
Mostly they memorize scripture and play games. He sits on the sidelines when they play games, but he seems to have as much fun as the other kids.
He's a remarkable boy.
Doctor, do you think he can start kindergarten this year?
If he continues as well as he is now. Daniel, I'd like to try a new medicine, okay?
Is it gonna be yucky?
I hope not. I also need to draw some blood to run some tests, okay?
Okay.
It might hurt a little bit.
Oh, don't feel bad about hurting me, okay?
Okay, Daniel.
Even at a young age, Daniel was more concerned about others than about himself. His heart was enlarged in more ways than one. He dearly loved his younger sisters, who were born when he was ages 4 and 7. He always seemed to accept his illness as something that God allowed. He simply couldn't do things the other children did. In fact, he accepted his limitations better than we did. Jim, do something! Daniel's playing football with the others.
Oh, come on, I've been watching him out the window.
Well, look at him, all red-faced and panting. He can hardly breathe.
Oh, come on, he's having a good time, that's for sure.
He has a heart problem. It could kill him.
Oh, let him play, Julie. Come on, I'd rather have him go to be with the Lord playing than sitting in the house sad because he's weak.
Jim, he's not supposed to do strenuous activities, you know that.
Don't worry, honey. Let him play. We have to entrust him to God.
I couldn't help worrying about Daniel. He seldom told people about his heart condition, and he was so friendly to everyone, I worried he'd be kidnapped. He would often sit on our front step and talk about God to people waiting at the bus stop in front of our house. He also talked about God to his doctors. He was going to Sunday school by then, and one day when we picked him up after class, he was so excited. So was his teacher.
Mommy, I asked Jesus into my heart this morning.
Oh, that's wonderful, Daniel.
Can I get a drink of water?
Sure. Come on, honey.
Debbie, he's only 5. Do you think he understood what he did?
Absolutely. It was so strange, Jim. I had a lesson all prepared, but I kept getting sidetracked, explaining the gospel. I've never seen him listen so intently. You could have heard a pin drop.
God prepared their hearts.
When I finished explaining, class time was up, and I was going to close with prayer. But Daniel said, "Wait, I want to ask Jesus into my heart." 3 other children chimed in and said, "Me too."
Wow, that's wonderful.
They all prayed, and they were all smiles when we finished. I know they understood their decision.
Danny started school and did very well. As he moved through grades 1, 2, and 3, his love for the Lord grew with him. He would raise his hand at the Wednesday evening prayer service at church, asking for prayer for some friend or neighbor. His activity level decreased during that time, and he was less and less able to do things the other children did. But he was mature beyond his years. One beautiful winter day, his 4th grade teacher gave the class an extra recess.
Johnny, be careful with that sled!
Boy, that looks like fun.
Yes, it does. Oh, I'm sorry, Danny. I didn't stop to think that this isn't much of a treat for you. You can't go sledding.
Oh, don't feel bad for me, Mrs. Olson. I'm thankful I can be out here and watch.
You are quite a guy, Danny.
Mrs. Olson, what do you think heaven will be like?
Well, Danny, I think heaven will be the best of everything. God is perfect, so heaven will be perfect too.
Then I'll be able to go sledding in heaven.
You're probably right. God wouldn't hold back anything as fun as sledding.
I look forward to going to heaven, Mrs. Olson. I think God will have a horse for me, too. I love horses.
I can tell by the cowboy boots you wear. I like your cowboy hat, too.
I have a collection of toy horses and cowboy music.
Why don't you bring them to class and make a presentation for the history class?
Daniel was so excited about that presentation. He loved school. But during the second half of fourth grade, he wasn't able to attend every day. It was becoming too strenuous for him, especially after he developed a respiratory infection that lingered. In May, the doctor hospitalized him for a day to stabilize him and try new medication. And in July, we took Daniel to the doctor for a heart catheterization.
Mr. and Mrs. Radke, the pressure in Daniel's lungs is much worse than I thought. I didn't even finish the procedure.
Oh, no wonder he's tired all the time.
Dr. Thomas, can you help him?
I want to try a different medication, but it'll probably have side effects.
He's so good about that. He cries, but he always cooperates.
You're planning a trip to Florida with the Make-A-Wish Foundation, aren't you?
Yes, in the fall. We're so thankful that you gave them our names.
I wouldn't wait until fall, Jim. I'm not sure how much longer Daniel will have the quality of life that he's had up to this point. I'll try the new medication as soon as you return.
The whole family went to Florida for a much-needed break, and when we came back, Danny started the new medicine, which gave him agonizing headaches for several days. In September, the doctor suggested we talk with a surgeon about a heart transplant. Then we discussed everything with Danny.
We want you to make the decision, Daniel.
Why did Dr. Thomas say that I'm a possible candidate for surgery?
Because the surgeon told him that you need more than a heart transplant, honey. Most likely, you need a lung transplant as well.
Well, it is pretty hard to breathe, Dad.
There's a problem with that too, son. The pressure in your lungs is so bad, he's afraid you wouldn't make it through the surgery of both transplants.
Oh, doesn't sound good, huh?
Well, if you make it through the surgery, there's no way of knowing if your body will accept the new organs.
Maybe I could serve the Lord better with a new heart and lungs.
I think the Lord is pleased with you no matter what, Daniel.
We'd better pray about this decision, huh?
Yes, Daniel, we'd better pray a lot about this.
In a moment, we'll learn about that decision. If this program brightens your day, you're not alone. Listen to the excerpts of letters from others around the world. This Army sergeant from Yuma, Arizona says, "I'm always awed by each program that I hear. I have had my life forever changed by this Jesus that you faithfully bear witness of." We appreciate each sentiment, like this one from Malawi, Central Africa. Unshackled is broadcast on African Bible College Radio in our country. The programs have made a big impact on my life, and I have come to treasure them. And this man in Riverside, California writes, "I just want to say thank God for the radio station that brings us Unshackled. It sure helped me build up my faith and walk closer to God." And we'd like to hear from you, too. You can visit our website at www.unshackled.org or write to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. And please include your address.
I felt so much peace while we were praying, Dad. I don't think I want the transplant.
You're sure, Danny?
I'm sure, Dad. The Lord knows how long my life is supposed to be, and He knows what He wants me to do with the time I have. I just have to listen to Him and do what He wants.
We love you so much, Daniel.
Yes.
And we couldn't agree with you more.
I know where I'll be when I die, so I'm not afraid of that. I'm ready to go home to the Lord. He has a great white horse waiting for me.
We'd like to keep you for a long time, partner, but you're right. That's up to God. I'll let the doctor know our decision, son.
I'm really praying for Dr. Thomas, Dad. He doesn't know the Lord.
Daniel prayed for so many people. He led our daughter Amy to Christ shortly after he was saved, and then she helped Sarah, our youngest daughter, to come to salvation. He was often sick from the medication, but his discouragement was short-lived. Although he could no longer go to school, his teacher didn't forget about him.
Mom! Mrs. Olson called. She wants me to give my cowboy presentation to the class again this year.
Well, that's wonderful, Daniel.
This time, I have a Christian cowboy song, and I can do my rope trick and everything.
Don't overdo it, son.
I won't. Mom, I've been reading about this missionary from Canada. He had heart disease, too, and diabetes. But God kept him going almost 50 years on the mission field.
God can do anything, Daniel.
He can even use me, can't he, Mom? I could be a volunteer. I want to help out at the Christian radio station.
Yes, I guess you could.
They help me a lot. Sometimes, when I can't go to sleep at night, I listen to all kinds of programs. Last night, I heard a great story on the Unshackled program.
Why don't you call the radio station? See if they could use some help.
Okay, Mom. I'd like to give something back to them, if I can.
The more Danny's physical condition deteriorated, the more he seemed to grow spiritually. Still, his condition grew worse, so the doctor began seeing him every 2 months. In May 1994, Daniel had congestive heart failure and was in the hospital again.
Mrs. Radke, Daniel needs rehydration. He also has an electrolyte imbalance we're trying to correct. But my real concern is his respiration. I tried a different drug to see if it would help, but his heart rate skyrocketed.
How is he, Dr. Thomas?
Okay for now, but I'm very concerned about him. We need to know your wishes about resuscitating him if he goes into cardiac arrest. It would mean a tracheotomy, intensive care, maybe life support. And there's no way of knowing what his prognosis would be afterwards.
Let me talk with my husband and my pastor.
Of course. Let me know your decision.
Oh, dear God. Who are we to make a life or death decision? You are the giver of life, Lord. What should we say? What should we do? Lord, I don't want to be responsible for Daniel's death. Dear Lord, help us.
When I arrived at the hospital, we discussed this with Danny, and he decided he didn't want to be resuscitated if his heart failed. He was put on a rehydration drink that he would take every day for the rest of his life, and he came home. Not wanting to waste the precious time he had, Danny joined a discipleship course at the Christian radio station where he was a volunteer.
Why didn't Christ come down from the cross? This is God the Son. He had the power. I would have. Why didn't he?
Because he went there to die for us. If he had come down, our sins would not be forgiven.
Ah, well, what does the Bible say about sin?
We all sin. And the wages of sin is death. So Jesus paid the penalty for all of us.
Does that mean everybody will go to heaven?
No. You have to be born again. You have to believe that Jesus was a substitute for you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house.
That's right. Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life."
Hello?
Hello, Mr. Radke?
Yes.
Sir, I'm Russ Turner, Danny's teacher for the discipleship course at WVCY. He's very mature for his age.
Praise God. We're constantly amazed by him.
Well, Typically, my students range from 16 to 60. The questions they ask are about the same from one class to another, but Danny's questions go much deeper. He can answer most of their questions.
That's our Danny.
I can tell he reads the Bible a lot. He has a real zeal for God.
Ah, yes, he does, and a real heart for the lost.
You know, I've been looking for a counselor who can relate well to young children for the family rallies. You know, I think Danny would be perfect. Do you think he'd be willing to go through more training?
Oh, I think he'd love that.
So Daniel trained to be a counselor to children. He'd always loved children. He worked in the nursery, loved to babysit, which was not too strenuous for him.
In 1995, Danny began singing solo in the Sunday evening church service. During the next year, he sang six times, songs like What a Friend We Have in Jesus and It Is Well with My Soul. But he was increasingly in pain and vomited daily. The week of his 14th birthday in December 1996, his heart began to beat in a weird, irregular way, so Dr. Thomas put him in the hospital again.
I gave Dr. Thomas a tract, Mom. I hope he reads it.
I'm sure he will, Daniel.
I want so much for him to receive the Lord as his Savior.
You've done your part. The rest is up to God, Daniel.
But what if I haven't done enough? I don't know how much time I have left.
No one knows how much time we have, honey.
Well, I never thought I'd be here this long. Next week's January.
Maybe you can come home soon.
Mom, you have to listen to this tape.
Oh?
It's about a girl that had cancer, and she ends up dying.
Oh.
And she wasn't afraid of dying. She really trusted God.
We all need to trust God like that and be ready, because none of us knows when our time will come.
Mom, when people come to visit me, why did they say I'm such a blessing? I'm such a sinner.
God has used you in a lot of people's lives, Daniel.
But I've disobeyed you and Dad.
No.
I mean, sometimes I don't want to read my Bible or pray. I've hurt God a lot.
He knows your heart, Daniel. All you have to do is ask him to forgive you.
I have. But will you forgive me too, Mom?
Of course, honey. Will you forgive me for the times I've hurt you? We cried and prayed together, and I asked him to talk about those things with his father when he visited that night. They watched a movie together, and just as Jim was getting ready to leave, Daniel began confessing his faults.
Danny.
Dad, please, just listen. Sometimes, when I was going to sing at church, and you would tell me to make sure I was praying about the song and that God would use me,
yes,
well, I didn't always do that either. I'm rebellious at times. Sometimes I don't want to do what you tell me. I get angry at you, and then I treat you wrong because of the sin in my heart.
Danny, please.
Dad, please, let me finish. When you and Mom volunteered to be leaders for the teen group at the church, I really didn't want you to be there. I enjoyed going there on my own. Dad, I need to say I'm sorry. Will you please forgive me?
Danny, son, I forgive you. Daddy sins all too often. You know that. I love you, son.
We prayed that he'd be stable enough to come home, but he began swelling, retaining fluids. The next Friday evening, we watched an old cowboy movie together, and I went home, planning to be back the next day to eat pizza and watch a football game together. At 5 in the morning, the phone woke us up.
Hello?
Mom, can you please come now?
Danny?
My feet have been so cold all night. Oh. I didn't sleep hardly at all.
Why didn't you call sooner, honey?
I waited till 5. So you could get some sleep. But I couldn't wait any longer. Mom!
I'll be right there, Daniel. I went to the hospital and rubbed his cold feet till he fell asleep. Then I stayed beside him praying until he awoke again at 8. After he'd had breakfast, I went home to make pizza for him and his father. Jim was getting ready to return to the hospital when they called and asked us to get there immediately.
I'm so sorry, Mr. Radke. Daniel's gone.
Oh, he's dead?
Baby Daniel.
He merely fell asleep. He didn't have any of the complications that many patients have in their final moments.
Oh, God.
1 minute he was standing up and said he felt tired. He lay on his bed and in a matter of minutes he just fell asleep.
I prayed he would have no pain.
He's with Jesus, Julie.
Yes.
Our little boy is at home.
Yes.
When Danny died, the local newspaper ran an article about his faith in God. At his funeral, one person after another gave glory to God for the faithfulness of his 14-year-old servant, Danny. Our son would have been overjoyed to know that when the invitation was given at his funeral, the boy he once babysat raised his hand for salvation. In John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Believest thou this?"
What about you, listening friend? If you were to die tonight, do you know for sure that you would go to heaven? According to the Bible, salvation is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. If you would like to know more about God's great mercy, just contact us and we'll send you some literature. The address is simply Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-922-1462. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Light the darkness for others, lead them to this broadcast, and let the manager of this station know that you're a friend of Unshackled. This is program number 2559. Heard in the true story of Daniel Radke were Martha Webster, Chuck McLennan, Nancy Sellers, Mary Jo Faraci, Judy LaRose, Dave Kappas, and David Stewart. Original music, Don Badorf. Sound, Nadine Aloisio. Engineer, Ed Webb. Script by Kenitha Gabler, and I'm Bob O'Donnell. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Your letter is very important to us, so please take a moment and tell us how these testimonies affect your walk of faith. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. We're always here for you, so call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-922-1462.